Welcome back to another episode of Rags to Riches, The Refined Mind. And we have another special
Natalia.
Hey guys.
Ding.
Diana.
And Megan.
Welcome back, Meg. Had to bring her back. No, it's been some really, really good conversations. And I kind of want to just go straight in because I think you mentioned in the other episode some heartfelt conversations. I was getting a bit teary. So I have kind of put a bit of tissue in my... But forget, I'm an emotional being anyway. So you touched on some of the things that you experienced, Diana, like the miscarriage you mentioned.
That was a shock. So a little bit about my health. Obviously, I had fibroids at the time, and I had a very, very large one, and then from going to the smear test that you're supposed to take every 5 years, I had a smear test, and the most recent one that I had at the time, the nurse told me that my cervix was like a certain way, so I would have to work extra hard on top of like having the fibroids. And then I had an autoimmune condition, Graves' disease, thyroid. So all of this combined through advice of the doctors and nurses. They had informed me that I wouldn't be able to have children or wouldn't be easy. Obviously, I didn't think that would be like my story. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't expect to get pregnant at the time. And so when I did, it was a shock. It was a surprise, but it was a very like pleasant surprise because I was just like, wow.
I can have babies.
Especially
after being told I can't.
And I think my smear test was literally like, maybe like 2-3 months before that. And so obviously when they had told me that, then I was just like, I'm gonna have to work extra hard. I remember the auntie, the nurse, sorry, I call her auntie, but she was even giving me positions that you have to do.
Or you mean as in working hard to conceive?
To conceive. From my
cervix. Aunties,
she was even giving me positions and everything. So she was like, you're gonna have to really try hard. And obviously because of the age, she was like, you know, you're gonna have to try harder. It's not gonna be easy and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, cool. So it was a pleasant surprise. And I was like, okay, God, like, and then I remember, like, I think Jay, you were the first person I actually told. I was really like, you know, early stage. I found out quite early, so I didn't want to tell anybody.
Of course, because they always say, like, after, is it 12 weeks or something like that? Then you can tell.
And with the fibroids and everything, I was just like, let me just make sure everything's okay. I remember speaking to you about it. And then I just started to grow, like, a lot of, like, anxiety. But I was trying to, like, keep myself grounded and like take away the negative thoughts and I
have faith
and have faith. And then obviously I've got my friends that were mothers already. And so I remember Jay was just like, oh, you know, we've got a group chat, and Jay was like, do you know what, I think it will be okay, like, if you like tell the girls so we can have that support and we can pray and and have like conversations. So I remember telling you guys, I can't remember how far along I was, but at the time. And then I just remember, because I have fibroids, it's like when your fibroids degenerate, which means it shrinks, it causes a lot of pain. And also when you are high in estrogen, it feeds off of that and causes a lot of pain. So there was a time during the pregnancy I was in a lot of pain. I had gone to the hospital, and obviously because I was pregnant, they checked the vitality of the baby. The baby's heartbeat was fine and everything. And I think maybe the weekend after, so it was probably a few days, I started to spot.
It's not a good sign, is it?
Yeah, I started to spot. And so I called them up and I was just like, I'm spotting. And they were like, no, it's fine. They were like, is it a lot? And I was just like, no. They were like, no, it's fine, it's fine.
Do you think with the anxiety as well, like,
it really induced so much anxiety. Like, I started to like really panic. I obviously told you guys, and you guys were like, kind of like, what color is it?
Yeah,
you know, because that all matters.
Because you got the normal part, and then the abnormal bit.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about the healthcare system and how they deal with, I know everybody, they're probably used to dealing with a lot of like first time mothers and stuff like that, but I think they lose their sensitivity
100%
to how they deal with you, and they forget that this is your first time. I know it's not yours, but it's my first time. And so it's kind of like, you know, they shrugged me off and like, you know, wouldn't even offer to like maybe see me or something.
And the thing is, you know your body. I know my body. Everything that you're going through.
Yeah.
If it's if the pain is different, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't just normal. This is something's wrong.
Yeah. And so I just remember that time, it really like messed with me a little bit for a while, because I was just like, okay, over this weekend, it was a weekend when I'd called them, I think it was on a Friday, I was just like, I'm just going to declare over my womb, like use my faith, shout out the noise and just speak over my womb, speak over my womb. And then I remember the blood just started to come more. And I was just like, no, something's not right. The hospital wouldn't see me, so I ended up just booking a private appointment at a clinic for the Monday. And when I went in, obviously, I got the news. The most traumatic thing I think I had experienced at that time, it's usually just a story, and you hear like so many women go through it.
Yeah.
But you don't actually understand the process.
Until you go through.
Yeah, and I remember the nurse when she was even checking, because it was like literally like my womb and the baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that is rough. Mm-hmm. On the screen.
Yeah.
And you can like just see like the baby floating. And it was almost like the nurse really wanted to find a heartbeat for me.
Yeah.
You could tell that she just didn't want this to be the news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened. And... yeah, the baby died, and I was so confused because I was just like, the heart rate was fine.
Yeah.
So what changed?
What
like literally, what changed? Like between then and like a few days later.
I think people forget that childbearing is a miracle.
Yes.
It's a miracle. It almost looks as if it's a miracle in its own. Like, you know, like G, as you always remember, G would have been a twin.
Yeah.
But I lost the second just before 12 weeks as well. So I would have had twins.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, it's like one of those things, because it's almost like they have a standardized, oh, okay, what's happening? We can't really do anything. We just let the body do what it's
happening. I didn't know what to expect. It's like you go through two traumas.
Yeah.
Because it's like you first see that the baby's dead, and then you go through a pain. I did not
know
the process.
Because you have to, like, because there's still something in you.
So your body's contracting the baby out. Mm. I did not know. So I remember even my friend came over, one of my good friends came over to kind of just, like, look after me because I was in pain. I wasn't eating. Obviously, I was, like, really, really sad at the time.
Yeah.
And then the day she had left, I went to use the bathroom. She left like 10 minutes later. And then the baby plopped up.
Yeah.
I was like, that was another trauma. I started screaming. And I was like, on the phone to her, she rushed right back in a taxi. But no one really tells you like the process that you go through. And even when I had lost the baby, I called the hospital. They didn't even update their records on time. And so they were still sending me like,
my midwife appointment.
And I was just like, it was just a lot of trauma. Yeah. I was just like,
it's almost like arrows coming left, right.
Yeah.
And working in the health sector is one of those things, depending on where you'd have gone, because our systems are different. Each hospital uses, so if you probably go to A&E, they probably use maybe like what they call System 1, and then you probably come maybe to our side, we use a different system. So then it won't update ours until the letter comes over from where you went.
Yeah. For it to come over that to I learned so, that the hard way.
Exactly. It's like, oh my goodness.
Because it's very frustrating.
Different systems in the hospital.
Yeah.
So which
because you think like, why are the systems not talking to each other?
Because
like,
it's not the
and
same
it's not
software.
The same. Yeah.
Because almost every hospital doesn't use the same software.
Fair
Most
enough.
Hospitals use different software, so that's a problem.
But then at the same time, it's communicate that to the to the person, like let them know like what's happening, and it's that what you're saying is like they just get so desensitized and so detached, like that human element, like they don't they treat you like
it becomes a job for them.
Yeah, it becomes
a job
for them.
So it's different when you could meet somebody, probably they've gone through it themselves and they're a bit more compassionate. So let's say for example that nurse probably she has gone through it herself and she's trying so hard to make sure that everything is okay for you. But then you meet someone on the 111 call and you're telling them that your symptoms are like
they just shut down.
My sister went through exactly the same thing. I understand.
Sorry to hear you went through that.
Yeah. So let's just let the body do what he wanted to do.
No.
So then there is like saying there's no follow-up, there's nothing.
There's and no follow-up because I didn't know what to do. I was like, should I come in? Like, do I need to book an appointment to come in? Like, how does the baby come out? Like, is he just going to stay there?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, you don't need to. Like, I just did not know what to expect. So,
did they ever like say what potentially caused the miscarriage?
The lady, even on the phone, the medic on the phone, she was just like, it's usually if you're like maybe a little bit more far gone.
Okay.
So I think I was 10 weeks at the time. But if you're a little bit more far gone, that's when they kind of like...
Okay, they can do more. Dissect
a little bit more and stuff. Because I was like, is it my medication? Mm-hmm. But they were like, no, it's not your medication. Mm-hmm. I was just like, you gave me this, the painkillers. They were like, no.
Yeah, I can't remember lack of... don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure when I think before the 12-week period, they can't really do anything, really.
Yeah.
I don't think they can do anything. Like you're saying, if you're far gone, they probably say things like bed rest, you know, allowed to get out of bed because you're far gone or something. I think there's stages and like in childbirth.
Medically,
medically, they can do something, and then at some point, they can't really do anything. They can't, you know, they can or cannot do something.
That's tough.
Mm.
And like with the fibroid, because you said that it shrunk, was that because of the pregnancy that it shrunk, or was that because of the medication?
It's almost like, you know, the baby, when you're pregnant, you produce a lot more estrogen and your blood, so it's like they're fighting for that space.
Yeah.
And I had a really big, I think mine was like 9 centimeters, but then I had many others as well, and my womb was infested with them. So it's like the baby, which in the first scan they were like, it's not really touching the child's
eye. Yeah.
So they keep scanning and keeping an eye.
But I mean, me personally, I feel like there's a lot more to the story outside of it, spiritually speaking and stuff like that. So I feel like it could have been that had played a factor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the positive though, like because I did have the miscarriage, they sped up the process and they started to treat the fibroid situation a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you know, I was diagnosed.
You just like
2018, they kept on putting me on the system to go to the clinic and get treated.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would have, I think a new one would grow every like 3 months. It was growing rapidly. And when I go in, they're like, oh, we don't know why we haven't been referred to the clinic yet, but I can see your name on the system.
And like so many women like go through like that. Yeah. There's so many like health issues like women go through. And something that you're saying, like childbearing is a miracle. And I think people don't realize it. And especially when you're younger, like you might have like, what's it called? Not miscarriage. When you get rid of it.
Abortion,
yeah. So, like, you might be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to abort, and then I'll conceive when I'm ready.
Oh, no.
And then when it gets to the age, it's like, you're trying, nothing is happening.
And you start blaming the aunties.
And you even probably blame yourself as well. You start thinking, oh, my goodness, all the time that I had a baby.
And I had the opportunity.
And you start going through that whole phase of your life again, now regretting all of those.
It's so interesting because I feel like our bodies are created to have children quite young. I have a theory.
Yeah.
It's not like proven, but I just feel like our hormone, if our wombs are left empty, I feel like our hormones start to like produce different things. Because even with like all these autoimmune diseases, like even with the most recent one I was diagnosed with, the doctor, the consultant was literally like, if you have a baby, this will literally go away.
There's a lot of things.
When it comes to women health, like they always say, if you have a baby, it'll sort itself.
Maybe that's why it's a miracle. Like it's like conceiving is not just to bring joy and just bring a child into this world. It actually brings a lot of healing into our body. Like I know, like with one of my friends, like her. When she had a child, it literally like cleared her skin like so well. And even with me, because I had a thing called ascites, is where basically like fluid like just builds up like inside of you, but it can come from endometriosis. It's very rare. And when I had my child, it literally took so much of the fluid away.
Wow.
So it's like, exactly, like, when God kind of, like, reconstructs these things.
He's like, this makes sense.
I never understand all of this, isn't it? Because I had, like, since starting my period, like, I started very early. I think I was about maybe 10, 11 or something like that. I used to be 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks
yeah.
on.
Yeah, and your bleeding was heavy.
It was ridiculous. It was 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And then I think there was one point I was here in Northampton, was the days when I lived here. At that time, I remember it was getting worse to the point of I could be wearing a Super Plus and a night pad.
Oh, Lord.
And I've been literally dripping through within Lord. 2 hours throughout my legs. That's how terrible this was.
And then you want to issue of blood.
I just needed a bell. I was just like, unclean coming through. But then,
you're so silly.
Honestly,
not unclean coming through.
You know, like you're going to go and buy your feminine stuff. Mm. As if like you're buying bread and milk. Mm. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
It became a norm and stuff like that.
It's just not normal.
And if you go to the GP, they say, oh, it's just your hormones. It's just changing. I'm just thinking, how is this normal? Because this is affecting my life. Mm. And it's one of those like, okay, girls, I'm just about to get up. Can someone just stand behind me?
Yeah, one of those ones.
Especially in that crowd, right? Can someone stand behind me? Let's make sure I'm good.
Just check.
Right? It was just so terrible. With it.
I remember when
or you don't even want to go anywhere.
Maternity pads. I started using maternity pads because the bleeding just got out. I was like, listen, put two on top of each other.
Listen.
It's like women go through like so much.
Exactly. But I had my daughter.
Yes, so it out.
I'm fine. Honey.
I think what it did to me, what pregnancy did to me, is I used to have very painful.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
But the good thing about it was it's gonna take me 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure.
My bleeding is.
But
like,
then you'll be so sick, throwing up, and all sorts. You don't even get anywhere.
Eat. I'll
exactly.
I'll be lying down inside.
But you'll take that over the 5 to 7 days.
Yeah. But I had cousins who were for a week.
Yeah.
No pain. Nothing for a week,
and school knew when you're not coming into school.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna do anything.
Yeah,
anything at all. I'm not gonna eat.
I'll just,
you know, when you know when you sweep the floor when it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my best thing. I'll just lay down there. Everyone knew that this was going for something.
Yeah.
But when I had
your own deliverance.
When I had my child.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, I don't even know. I guess because we don't really know much about all of those things. But then it's so weird how it's connected that as soon as you have a child, it seems as if like the womb resets.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It just brings healing.
All your, like, everything about you, even your blood, your skin, your nails, your hair, everything resets.
Yeah.
And then a lot of women don't know that because we don't know.
And I think as well, it's like, because there's so much stress add on as well.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't even get to that place where your body can reset.
Mm.
Like, especially if you've come from like maybe like your single parent or single mom, it's like you don't have somebody to actually allow you to reset your body, like where you could rest.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because you need to rest. But if you're constantly on the go, like when does your body have time to heal?
Not even just your body, your mind.
Your mind.
Your mind, because this is where you find that a lot of postnatal depression. Because like, you know, when you have a family or you got somebody to lean on when you've got a young child, they take the baby away from you, they feed the baby whilst you get time to rest.
Yes.
But when you don't have anything like that, can you imagine the constantly crying baby, you know, and you can't sleep as well.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to sleep. And
then don't forget postpartum.
That's it. And sometimes you can be with your partner can be there and he's useless.
Yeah.
It's true. And also it's not their fault. Nobody taught them.
Because they don't understand. Exactly. Because, so, you know, it's actually a conversation with one of the guys earlier on. We're talking about this that we talk about the family dynamics these days and how relationships don't seem to work. And when you know that, it's good for a child to grow up in a house with both a mother and a father.
Yeah.
But then unfortunately, you know, things haven't been working out like that for our generation especially.
Yeah.
A generation, I believe, that it's a generation that's so impatient, a generation that is unlearned when it comes to relationship, a generation that doesn't want to work
on anything at all.
Microwave generation. Yeah. Like, you don't want to work on anything at all. You don't even know anything. Mm. But I know what I know. He knows what he knows.
Mm.
So from my perspective, he's wrong at every level.
Mm,
yeah. And then from his perspective, I am wrong at every level.
Do you know what? The thing that I don't get yet is why some men, especially when it comes to like, you've just given birth, but it's like they know everything. This is how you should hold to breastfeed the child. Some men get like that. They even add to the stress.
What kind of men is that?
No, I have experienced such. It's like, I'm sorry, but I feel like, especially when you give birth, some things are, it's natural, it's maternal, and it's like sometimes they can also add that stress, but it's like what you're saying, they know what they know, and you know what you know, and it's hard to come together.
I think it's like, I think parenthood is a learning curve for everybody when you start realizing it's like, actually, you know, maybe I need to take the baby away from my wife, from my partner, for just for 2 hours. Like, just go and rest. Or just go out for fresh air. Don't worry about it. I got this, right? But then it's...
You barely see that.
You know what I mean? It's because we don't understand one another.
That's the reason why here you see they have a lot of couple, like parenting couple?
Like co-parenting.
Co-parenting. Expectant parents.
Yeah.
Courses.
Because
when you go to these courses, they teach you this is what you should be doing when your woman who's pregnant, this is happening to her, this is how you should, you know, this is what you should do, this is what you learn, but none of our parents have
isn't it? But then an advantage for our culture normally is when you have a baby, you've got your moms, your aunts, everybody's there. Everybody's there.
You have neighbors.
All you do, you just wake up to feed the baby. Someone brings the baby to you to feed.
Just put your feet up. That's
you
it.
You eat.
They bring food for you.
You eat. All you do is just come up, get up, go shower, eat, sleep, feed the baby. And that's they all. They give you time. Exactly. You, they give you time for your mind, your body to heal.
You feel like you just gave birth to a kid.
That's the difference. And then when we come here now, the men don't know how to function in that perspective, because in this side of the world, they don't know anything.
There's
because
no
if you're
aunties,
back home,
no,
and the thing is, they have to be all of those things.
Exactly.
But if they haven't seen it,
they've
or they don't
seen it,
know,
so they don't know how to do
so
it.
So it's like, then it just brings conflict. And then they just want to, like,
because we've
retract
got
an and go out.
I am expecting you to help me out whilst I'm down. But you got no clue that, you know, what this is taking a toll on my mind. This is taking a toll on just everything, your mind, your body, everything. And then,
because it affects your body. It's like your body changes.
Yeah.
And it's like you lose self-confidence.
Yeah.
You know, you look at yourself in the mirror and it's like, oh.
No. Have you been showered? Or 2 second shower? 2 second shower. Why is the baby sleeping? Let me put
it's true.
Quick shower, quick food. You don't even, you know, just take a bath. You know when you just put your candles on and just have a moment?
Have
nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
Someone needs your attention. You know,
it is hard here.
And I think as well, like, even taking away, like, bearing a child, having, like, health issues and then being in a relationship, again, something that we spoke about earlier, it's like, when you have those conversations, this is my health, this is what it comes with, are you prepared, like, what does that look like for a relationship?
Exactly.
Like, are you, because I might have to go to the hospital, I don't know, like, 3 times a month or something, because sometimes it gets like that, because you can have episodes, you know, where the pain hits you, like, how is it going to handle that?
Exactly. Can you handle the, would you know, would you be willing to research and find out how to help me whilst I'm going through what I'm going through?
I feel like that's quite a difficult conversation for me, because, like you were saying earlier, the finances is difficult, but for me
it's the
health.
Yeah.
Because
it
feels like it's a burden.
It's personal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's personal.
I've also been thinking about, like, my children and, like, thinking I need to have a healthy partner.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, fair for me to be, like, I need my partner to be healthy.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not healthy.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately,
you
have to start,
like,
thinking
like that. Like, your kids are now, like, predisposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though something they say aren't hereditary.
Yeah.
You can just never know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they could still be at a higher risk if, like, maybe there's a stressor on their body. Their body might respond the same way.
Yeah.
And you can never...
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that takes an element out of, not genuinity, but, like, because now when you think about a relationship, it's like, are you financially stable? Because you see what you've gone through, and, like, certain things matter now. Whereas, like, before, it's love. But now you realise, like, love is great.
Yeah, but...
Love is important, but love is not going to... I think love is not sustainability.
Yeah.
It's not.
So it's like, it's again, like, those are you financially stable?
Yeah.
Like, again, like, the health thing, it's like, it's kind of, you feel bad to think about it, but it's right to think about it.
And I think with age as well, like, as you get older, it's almost like, you know, you are living this life and it's now, like, to allow another person into my space or to now like go into another person's space, it has to be worth it. And it has to be worth it and it has to make sense. Does that make sense? Like,
are you worth my time?
That's true.
It's true. We're not wasted. Yeah.
What she means is when you've been single for a very long time and they start dating.
It turns you.
Because you're so used to a different person.
Yeah.
You are used to like, this is how I take care of myself.
Yeah.
You're now bringing another person into your life, or you're going into another person's life. Yeah. Is this person going to be fought for?
Yeah.
Or am I exposing myself to more trauma, stress that I don't need?
Are you healed?
I think it still stays genuine, but in terms of like the things that you look for now, because of the state that you're in or the condition that you're in,
you're becoming a bit more meticulous with
about who. I need you to be considerate. If you're not a considerate person or a thoughtful person, and it could just be as simple as my laptop broke. Wait, no, guys, hear me out, don't laugh. It could be as simple as like, my laptop broke. Are you going to bring a solution, or you're just gonna be like, oh, that's too bad?
No,
do you know what I mean? For me, it's just the thoughtfulness. Yeah. Like, I've had guys that are amazing. I'm not saying buy me a new laptop, but
bring a solution.
I was like, oh my god, my laptop kind of like just broke, just in conversation.
Because it's work as well.
And he didn't even tell me. He just sent me like a bunch of instructions, and he was like, do this, do that.
Come on, man.
This is D for you. D wants a man with solution. Don't just.
Of course,
I need a solution. I need you to be thoughtful.
Because I've actually locked guys off.
Say, be a man, don't just be a man by paper. Be a man in everything.
Be a human with solutions. Because if not,
the garden is doing. Can you get to the garden? Don't I wait for you to tell me?
You like a handyman?
No, but it's actually important.
There's a lot of things I can do on my own, fixing stuff around the house. Yeah. Because obviously, I'm a single mom, so I'm not expecting like, oh, I'm a boyfriend. I ain't got a boyfriend. I dated 3 years after I had my baby, so I had to learn to do certain things on my own at home, like you know, put a table together, try to plug. Actually, my washing machine, I plugged it myself.
I won't go that far, girl.
And I bought a whole set of
toolbox.
Yeah, toolbox.
I do have
that. I have so many.
I know how to. I'm actually quite handy, but I don't want to.
I don't want to be.
This is the. Yeah. You see these nails?
When I get a man.
Okay, this is what I want
to
do.
But they speak for themselves. Thank you. Because I'm a handle.
You don't have to even be able to do it. Yeah, but I need proactiveness. Like I've been. Listen, I'm not even trying to expose anybody, but like just from relationships that I've seen, like older relationships that I've seen, I'm like, I do not want that. Like,
of course.
Like, that's where like the door handle is broken and the man of the house is just walking up and down and we're all catching the coat.
Like, he doesn't live in that house.
And I'm like, no, if you can't fix it, can you call someone that can?
Yeah, I've seen it as well.
I'm just like,
we're all scraping
around
ourselves.
It gets annoying.
No, because why is he there?
Why
are you here?
Or like the paint in the house is going yellow. And I said, I'm going to paint it, but you've told me to wait and I've not painted it.
It actually makes a difference.
For me, it's more why about the mindset. Here? It's not even about that. It's like, what kind of mindset?
I'm done. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Girl, I see some things. I'm just like,
it's not my portion.
It's not my portion. Is this not your house? You do not love this house.
Yeah.
You do not live here.
But you know what is so interesting? Because sometimes we see it's like the modern. What do they call them? The modern guy are like, they're not very like hands on, but sometimes it's even like the old school.
Technology wants to make everything easier.
I don't think it's technology. I think it's the mindset.
It's the mindset. those youngers are useless. I'm telling you, useless. To just check, everyone there was going to work.
Wait, hold it there. Hold that thought there. Because we're going to come back in the next episode. Thank you guys so much for this episode. Come back for the next one because we've got more laughs, clearly.
Oh, dear.
Are you okay there?
Why are you in this house, Olga?
It's true.
Girl.
What is your purpose in this house?